بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله نعبده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. All praise is due to Allah. All praise is due to Allah. We praise Him and we ask Him for help and we ask for His protection. And we seek safety in Allah from the weakness in our own selves and from the evil consequences of what we do. And whoever Allah guides, there is no one who can lead him or her astray. And who Allah finds in error, finds deviating from the right path, there is no one to guide him or her. And I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and that Muhammad is his servant and his messenger. Dear Muslims, we want to begin by reciting two ayats from the Holy Quran, and our topic for today is going to be the woman in al-Islam. Allah says to us in the Holy Quran, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu Takulaha haka tukatihi wa la tamutun illa wa antum muslimun. O you who believe, have taqwa for Allah. Be careful of your duty to Allah. Be conscientious in carrying out your duty to Allah with the care which is due to Him. And do not die unless you are submitting yourself totally to Allah. Allah also says to us, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullaha wa qulu qawlan sadidan yuslih lakum a'malakum wa yaghfir lakum dhunubakum wa man yuti Allah wa rasuluhu faqad faza fawzan azim. O you who believe, again, be careful of your duty to Allah. Have conscientious observance of your duty to Allah. And speak the right word. Speak the right word. Waqulu qawlan sadidan. And then it goes on to say, and He would put your deeds in a right state for you. Yaslilakum amalakum, and would forgive you your faults. Wa yakfir lakum dunubakum. Then Allah says, whoever obeys Allah and His Rasul, wa man yuti Allah wa rasuluhu, he has and she has achieved a mighty success. Faqad faza fawzan azim. We want to read from the Quran, from the English interpretation, as we introduce our topic, we won't talk too long. We know you all have to get back to your jobs or training. But in the Holy Quran, in the surah that's translated as the poets, Allah says to us, recite unto them the story of Ibrahim, when he said to his father and his people, what are you worshiping? And they said, we are worshiping idols, and we are ever devoted to them. And he said, do they hear you when you cry? Or do they help you or harm you? Do they benefit you or harm you? And they said, no. They admitted it. They said no. But we found our fathers acting this way. Our forefathers acting this way. He said, so you see now what you are worshiping, you and your forefathers. He said, they are all an enemy to me except for the Lord of the worlds, who created me, and he does guide me, and he feeds me, and he gives me water, and when I am sick, he heals me, and who causes me to die, and then gives me life again, and who I sincerely hope will forgive me my sins on the day of judgment. So then he prayed. He says, my Lord, my Rob, please bless me with wisdom and unite me among the righteous, and give me a good record in the future among later generations. Actually, could you go in the back and get another rug and put it in front of us? Give me a good record among the later generations. He's going to get another rug. And place me among the inheritors, the Warathin, the inheritors. Place me among the inheritors. If you want to, just wait, and the brother's going to bring another rug. He's coming. And brother, if you just put that right in the front, that should be enough for who we have today. Just put it right there, brother, right here. Right in front. Okay. Yes. Put it right in front. Yeah, in front. Come on. Just put it right there. You better sure can sit in front. So Ibrahim, he prayed to Allah to not only to unite him with the righteous people, with the Salihin, the righteous people, but also to give him part of the inheritance of the reward of the righteous people, and also to give him a good record on the day the people are raised up, the day of Yom Kippur. Then he says, forgive my father, because he are those who are in error. He is among those who have gone in the wrong direction. So he prayed for forgiveness for his father, but what we have to understand is that it wasn't just his father, it was his grandfather, it was his uncles, it was his mother, it was his whole family that was in error. And so he was asking God, Allah, not to forgive them in the sense of letting them continue to be misled or continue to be polytheists or Kafirun or Mishrakeen. That wasn't his desire. His desire that he would take them out of the darkness and put them into the light which Allah had blessed him to be able to be in. He wanted good for them. He didn't want them to keep doing bad. So that's an example for all of us, that this society, in a sense, is our father. Even if you come from a Islamic country, There are things that we're going to talk about in a minute that's going on in almost every so-called Islamic country, and I've visited many of them personally, and these are not things that Allah is pleased with. And we're not supposed to just ask God to let them continue and then overlook them. But as Ibrahim did, he spent many hours working hard to try to convince them. And we have some examples of his method of teaching them, trying to convince them to turn away from their wrongdoing. And so he wanted to be one of those who inherited, who received the reward of God for doing good. And we should want to be of those who receive the reward of God for doing good in our own societies. We should not be satisfied just to allow the people of our societies to do wrong. We should try to change these things. And Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that if we can't change the conditions around us with our hands, if we can't fix things so that we can make the changes ourselves in the society, then to speak out against the wrong, and then maybe those people who can make the changes will be affected, and they will change those things because we spoke and gave them the words that God put into us from the Quran to do the changing. But if that doesn't work, at least in our hearts, to object to it, to have a desire to change it. So we know that Ibrahim actually, not only did he speak out against it, but what did he do? He said to them, what is this that you used to worship instead of Allah? Can they help you? These idols, these things you made with your hand, can they help you? Or can they help themselves? He said, no, they will all be hurled into the fire. And those who invite others to worship them. And we know the story, and I won't go into the detail of how they left him. They didn't want to hear the message, and when they returned, all of their idols were broken up except one, the biggest one. And they said, who did this to our idols? He said, look at him, ask him. You know, he's the chief of the idols, why don't you ask him what happened? And they said, he can't talk. We can't find out from him. He says, then why are you worshiping him? So many of these things that people call themselves worshiping, that they consider to be so important, they can't give you the reward of the inheritance. And yet the Satan uses these things to seduce you and me to not follow and not obey Allah. We're going to try to make this short. I know y'all have to get back. We want to welcome all of you. It's good to see so many new faces here in this masala, and we thank Allah for you coming here, and we pray Allah that you'll continue to come here. My name is Brother Imam Musa, Muhammad Musa Muslim Abui. I'm also known as Brother Marshall. That's the name my mother gave me, so you may hear my family address me as Marshall sometime, but the name that my Muslim Sheikh gave me was Musa Muslim Abui, and the name that my brother gave me was Muhammad, but I am known as Imam Musa throughout the Muslim world, all over the world where I have traveled to see my Muslim brothers and sisters in many places, Africa, Arabia, so many places where people have welcomed me as an American that believes in Al-Islam. I was born here in America, and I've lived here and traveled outside, but for the last 75 years that I've been on this earth, this has been my home. So we want to talk very briefly about the woman in Islam. And I'm glad to see some representatives of the Pakistani. Did I see Pakistani soldiers here? Any Pakistanis? None? Okay. All right. But anyway, the founder of Pakistan, his name was Muhammad Ali Jinnah. And in 1944, at the beginning of the establishment of the nation we know as Pakistan, he gave a speech at the Aligarh Muslim University, and this is what he said: "No nation can rise to the height of glory unless your women are side by side with you." And then he went on to say, "We are victims of evil customs, bad customs. It is a crime against humanity that our women are shut up within the four walls of the houses as prisoners. There's no sanction anywhere," meaning that you won't find any laws or sanction in the Quran or in the Hadith for the deplorable condition in which our women have to live. And then the writer of this particular talk that I'm giving you said that 70 years later, the status of women, Muslim women around the world, has scarcely improved. In fact, the former president of the United States, Jimmy Carter, who was very sympathetic towards the Muslim, he met with the president of Egypt, Anwar Sadat, before he was killed, and tried to come to some understanding so that the Muslims and the people of the West would get along better. And he addressed an international conference on women and religion right here in Georgia, up in Atlanta, Georgia, on the 28th of June, 2013. And he blamed the leaders, the religious leaders, including the Christian and the Muslims, for the mistreatment of women. And he said that the actions or the lack of action from these leaders is certainly not the sole factor, but it is a contributing factor. And he went on to say, and we have to agree, it's true, that the education of our women as Muslims has suffered at the hands of some of our Muslim leaders, the more conservative leaders, and even nationalist leaders. But pointing fingers is not the solution. And there's more, but we're just going to wrap it up by saying this, that Allah tells us in the Holy Quran, he says, "People, be mindful of your Rabb, who created you from a single soul, a single nafs, and from that single soul created its mate." Now, many of us have been influenced, even those who are from Muslim countries that were under the colonialization of the Westerners for many years, many of us are influenced too much by this book. Even Muslims, this is a Bible, that says first God made the man, the female came out of the man, and therefore she should be subservient to the man. There's nowhere in the Quran that said that the man was the first nafs. It just said that he created a single nafs, and the nafs then became two, and one was the surrogate of the other. We know we could not have come here without our mother. So why is it that you will find, even in the Muslim countries, that even boys that get to be 10 and 11 and 12 years old, especially when they get to be 12 years old, they think they're men, and then they start ordering their mother around. They flip the script, as we say. They all of a sudden feel they have the power to dominate their own mother. Where did this come from? When Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he was asked about who they should give honor and respect to, and he said, your mother. He didn't say that's supposed to stop when you get to be 12 years old. Then the person asked him again, who should you give honor and respect to? And he said, your mother. And he asked him one more time, and he said, your mother. And then he said, your father. So we should look at these things and understand that, unfortunately, my brothers and sisters, we have been influenced. Unfortunately, we have been influenced by the Western culture, because Westerners have come into all of our countries, even into Saudi Arabia, where the sacred places, the haram, the haram, we can go there and we can see the people just in the last few months have passed a law to allow the women to drive. And then somebody told me, because I was concerned about that, I said, why don't they want them to drive? They let them walk around. I've been in Saudi Arabia. I've seen them walking around. So it's not that they are trying to keep them from going to the souk or going shopping or going out. They go to the jewelry stores. They go to the market. But they didn't want them to drive a car to get there. They have to walk, or somebody have to drive them. So somebody says that it would be bad for their reproductive system. Now, does that make any sense? Here we have in the Hadith a very, very, very well-known story about Aisha radiallahu anha, the wife of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, riding on the back of a camel or a horse. I'm not sure which one it was. I think it was probably a camel. She was actually riding on a camera herself in a special apparatus that had been made so she could sit in there, but she missed her ride when the people went back, and she was lost among some people. And so one of the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent back, and he found her, and he put her on the horse. Now, if she could ride on the horse, we don't know how long that distance was before they got back to camp, but they rode for a little while. And there was no thing where the prophet condemned him for putting her on the horse. He said you should have let her walk, because riding on the horse would damage her reproductive organs. So where did this misinformation come from? They say that driving a car would cause a woman's reproductive organs to be, her organs to be damaged. Well, let me tell you something. In this country, in America, women have been riding in cars since they invented cars. I mean, Muslim women and non-Muslim women. And I can tell you that the African-American women reproduction have tripled since they've been riding in cars. So we have to get out of this ignorance, brothers and sisters, that seems to have prevail among even our leaders for a very long time. Now, I know that when you all come here, brothers, I may say some things that it may not be comfortable for you to hear. Some of the things I say are not comfortable for me to hear. It may not be comfortable for somebody that doesn't like getting up early in the morning for me to tell you that it's a sin for you not to get up in the morning before daylight to make Fajr prayer. Somebody may not want to hear that because they like to sleep until noon. But I work late at night. Sometimes I don't get home till midnight, but I still set my alarm to get up before daylight to make Fajr prayer, because I don't want Allah on the Day of Judgment to ask me, did I make my prayers? Because I have been told that one of the first things that's going to be asked on the Day of Judgment is, did you get up to make your prayer? I mean, I want to hear that, but I know that it's true. And when you know something is true, You have to subject your own will. You have to subject your own feelings to the truth, because the truth, as I said in the scripture of Esau and Miriam, will make you free. So do you want to be free to be able to serve Allah and go to the Jannah? Or do you want to remain a slave to your weakness so you can go to the hellfire? These are things we need to think about. We don't have much time, so we'll continue this topic again some other time, because we need to talk about these things. And I do want to say this before I go. It kind of hurts me to say it. Brothers, I'm not saying this to brag, and I'm not saying this to put a wreath around me or pat myself on the back. But this is 2019. In April will represent the 18th year that I've been the imam of this community. I've seen hundreds of brothers from all over the world come together. Some of them that didn't even know the language of each other. Some of them, they knew English because they had to know it to come here. But some of the brothers, they come from Saudi Arabia, they didn't know Urdu. Some of the brothers that come from Kazakhstan, they didn't know the Arabic language. But they would come together and hear one language, the Quranic Arabic language, and they would feel like they were a family. And that's what we seek to do here. But sometimes when we talk to the brothers, some of the things may touch a nerve. Some of the things may cause them to feel that we shouldn't have said that, because they didn't want to hear that, because it makes them feel uncomfortable. Well, brothers, if you cannot bear to feel uncomfortable before the truth and the word of Allah from the Quran and the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad, then you need to pray more and ask Allah to take the Iblis spirit out of you, because Iblis felt uncomfortable when Allah told him the truth, that this man that he was going to make from clay, that this man was going to be superior to him in service to Allah, and that the Iblis should, it says in some translation, bow to him, but it doesn't mean bow like we bow to Allah, but he should help him to serve Allah. And Iblis says, I can't do that. I won't do that, because I'm better than him. None of us are better than Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. None of us are better, of course, than our Creator Allah. And none of us should feel that we are better or too good to hear the truth, even if it is against us. So let us just be humble, and let us just serve Allah the best we can, and come to Juma, and come to Juma with an open mind to accept anything. Because one thing I can truthfully tell you, I mean this from the bottom of my heart, and my wife, she's been attending Juma here for the last 18 years, you'll never hear me preach and tell you that you should do something, or that you should avoid doing something, unless I can find evidence in this book right here, or in the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad. So if you hear something that Prophet Muhammad said, and it's a valid, strong hadith, because I'm not going to come and bring no daif and hadith, no weak hadith before you, but I will find the hadith that I know that the scholars agree are strong hadiths. But more importantly, what I will mostly bring is this book and what it says. And I hope that it's something that will help us to be able to fight against the weakness in our own selves. And so, we want to close and thank Allah for blessing us to be here. Rabbana Tina Fidunya, Hasna Tanwa Fila Karati, Hasna Tanwa Kina Dabina. Bismillahi Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ashadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la, wa ashadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. Ya yuhanasu ataku rabakum aladhi kalakakum min nafsin wa hidatin wa kalaka minha sawjaha wa batha min huma rijalin katiran wa nisan wa takulaha aladi tasaluna bihi wa ahamma inna laha kana alaikum rakiban. O people, have reverence and have respect for your Rab, your guardian Lord, who created you from a single nafs and created of like nature. Of like nature. It didn't say of inferior nature. It says of like nature. Like means same. His sound. But the word his here doesn't necessarily mean male. We use that in the Arabic, but it doesn't necessarily mean that Nafs was a he. So let's get that out of our mind. Because when you start thinking like that, all of a sudden you start thinking Allah is a he. Allah is not a he. Allah created he's, but Allah is above being a he. He's above being a she. We just use that word he. Because when you start thinking of Allah as a physical person, then you already committed shirk. And it says, from those two scattered countless men and women. So have respect for Allah, through whom you demand your mutual rights. That means men and women both have rights. And have respect for the wombs that bore you, for Allah ever watches over you. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullaha wa tanzur nafsun ma qaddamat lighadin wa taqullaha inna allaha kabiran bima ta'maluna. O you who believe, have taqwa for Allah, and let every soul, let every nafs, let every soul look to what provision that you send forth for tomorrow. That means for the day of Yom Kiyama. Yes, have taqwa for Allah is well acquainted with all that you do. And we close with our dua for our prophet, and we pray Allah that he will bless us to become much closer to the sunnah of our prophet. And one way we can do that is to be mindful always that his first objective in his life was to be pleasing to Allah, more so than to be pleasing to his wives, more so than to be pleasing to his companions, more so than to be pleasing to his own nafs, but to be pleasing to his Creator. So whatever we do, let us ask ourselves as we contemplate doing anything, is this going to make me be more or less pleasing to Allah? Is this going to bring me closer to Allah? Or is it going to take me from Allah? Is it going to make me be a servant of Allah? Or is it going to make me be a servant of the devil, the shaitan? Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Kama salita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim. Innaka Hamidum Majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad. Kama barakta ala Ibrahim. Wala Ali Ibrahim and Akamita Majid, the Kamasalah.
Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Malik Yawm Al-Din, Iyaka Na'budu Wa Iyaka Nasta'in, Ihdina Sirata Al-Mustaqim, Sirata Al-Lazina An'amta Alayhim, Ghayri Al-Maghdubi عليهم ولا الضالين. إنا أنزلناه في وما أدراك ما ليلة القدر ليلة القدر خير من ألف شهر تنزل الملائكة والروح فيها بإذن ربهم من كل أمر سلام هي حتى مطلع الفجر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
آمين.
قل هو الله أحد الله صمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. الله أكبر.
السلام عليكم.
سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
Assalamu alaikum. This is your beloved brother Murad Mohammed, live on your Block Talk Radio. And we come to you at 7 o'clock p.m., but whatever reason, we had difficult time to get on the air, but it doesn't bother me because these things do happen. Nevertheless, when you called in, you was not able to reach anyone because I did not know that I was going on live. But these things happen, brothers and sisters. This is the Holy Month of Ramadan, and we're going into our 10th month. Sorry, our 10th of the 30th of the Holy Quran. And we will complete tomorrow. It starts after Maghrib, but we will complete tomorrow. Our 10th day, which is mercy. And one of the reasons why it's mercy is because we went 11 months in not being able to do the things that allow us to erase our sins. Oh, yes, we commit sins. Allah did not create us to make sin for ourselves, but we are capable and we have the will to sin. And for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says distinctly that if there's a group of people that will not sin, that he will erase them from the earth and replace those who will sin. Now, one cannot comprehend that if you don't study the Quran. We are able to make sin. And because we sin, we have the ability to repent and ask God to erase those sins away. And if we don't do that, we are sinful people. And we will die a sin. Don't misconstrue, brothers and sisters, you're not going to die a moral death. You die a sinful death. And we can erase sins long as we're alive, and we come to Allah and ask Him to forgive us. The Holy Month of Ramadan, and some people misconstrue what that means. If you can abstain from food, you can abstain from drugs. If you can abstain from food, you can abstain from selling drugs. If you can abstain from food, you can abstain from moral acts that will allow you to go to the hell. And more that you commit sin, you can be put in the hellfire. So we have to beg Allah, as long as we're alive, all the way to the day that we leave this world, and we only could leave without God's will. And some of us are afraid to die, but you don't die, you evolve. You evolve, you're not dead. And you have to make it to the final day of judgment. Now, every day is judgment day, but the order to go to judgment day, the final day of judgment. And if you beg God for forgiveness, your sins will be washed away. Did Adam sin? Some people say that our father Adam cursed the world. No, he didn't curse the world. He sinned when he does not do what Allah asked him to do. But his first reaction was he repented. So when you obey God while you're alive, you wash your sins away. So the month of Ramadan is abstaining from the moral acts, abstaining from that which you should be doing. And because we had 11 months to sin, God, we beg for mercy to be able to make it through these 30 days. However, some people are ill and they can't fast and abstain from food and water. So it doesn't mean just that. It means exactly what I am asking you to do. I am not saying that I have a right to ask you to do that. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala glorifies his name. Allah, most merciful God, surely Allah says that we have a right to sin. And most of us take that for granted. And we just continue to sin and sin and sin. But brothers and sisters, you have to understand that we are not saying that you have a right to sin, but you should not sin. You should beg God for forgiveness for your sin. Some of us just ignore it. We come a deaf ear. We don't listen to our soul, and we just keep sinning. We keep sinning. So the month of Ramadan, the first 10 days is mercy. And after tomorrow, forgiveness. We ask them to forgive us for all our sins. And of course, the last 10 days is blessing. When you beg God for blessings that you went through the month of Ramadan. So it's the moral acts is more important than food, because everybody cannot fast. So we feed the needy, we give charity, and that's good faith, good intention. When you go through the month of Ramadan. But we read one third of the Quran, and we are now we'll be on the 10th, 30 of the Holy Quran. But brothers and sisters, keep in mind that yes, we are sinful people, but all you got to do is go to God. And you beg for forgiveness. I am Raj Muhammad. This is New Africa Excellent Enterprise, Maraj Speaks. And we come to you every week, 52 weeks out of the year. And we try to enlighten you and to allow you to come to the simple common sense that God gives to us. When you make your Maghrib prayer, that is 3 rak'ahs. SubhanAllah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. When you make your 2 sunnahs, that's your 5 senses. And you beg Allah to guide your 5 senses while you sleep and awaken you to your 5 senses, because your 5 senses is the foundation of who you are. It's simple, common sense. It's common. Every human being is given that gift in the womb of your mother. Allah glorify his name, gives you those 5 senses. But when we come out of there, you have to breathe in the spirit, or you're stillborn. So you breathe in that spirit, in that earth, that you look in the mirror, they're earthly people. You look in the mirror, that's your real estate. But it can't move without the spirit. So when you breathe in the spirit of God, that allows you to take on your responsibility as the Khalifa. We are the Khalifa. Allah didn't say, let's make man. Man said that. But got your attention. Allah didn't say, we will create man. We can't create nothing. Only God can create the Khalifa. So he says, I'm going to create the Khalifa in the earth. The Khalifa is not an individual. No man can be the Khalifa by himself. The whole entire human being, you want to put it that way, you are a human being, but his humans are the Khalifa, guardian of the earth. This is why Adam was over top of the garden. And we get the wrong concept that this evil world we are living in is the world Satan and man created. Well, Allah does not create a crooked world. But God himself says to Angel Jabir, peep into my world that I created. Oh, my Lord, no one can go crooked in a world as beautiful as this world. With a blink of the eye, and God doesn't have an eye, but it got your attention, the blinking of the eye will allow you to see the world of Satan, of Iblis. And that world is like Solomon and Gomorrah. And we have to struggle in this world to prove to Allah we are believers. We seek refuge in him, in the Lord that created the heavens and the earth and nothing in between. So we all have to struggle because Iblis, Satan, you refer to him as the devil. He has the permission from God to try us, to test us, to see if in fact that jinn, and that was a jinn that had the ability to trick us and con us and deceive us. But God says that his tricks and his cons are weak. And because he's weak, we have to be able to endure the way he can con us. But he can't dictate us. He cannot tell us what to do. He has no ability to do that. Isn't that amazing? Who is this jinn? Is the jinn in you? Yes, it is. The question was asked, is the jinn in Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He said, yes, the jinn is in me. But the difference in his jinn and our jinn, he made his jinn Musa. If you go on to read, I'm a student of Ibn Waluddin Muhammad, and I take pride in giving credit where credit's due. You remember what Steve Muhammad stated, that the prophet said, I made my jinn Muslim. And if you read on further, you will find out that the prophet Muhammad, alayhi salam, never got out of his nature. So his jinn was a Muslim when he got revelation. He didn't know it. He never practiced any idol gods, Christianity and Judaism. He did not get involved in any of that. He acted in his nature. So the jinn was not able to trick him and con him and trick him. So Allah chose him to be the seal of the prophet. But don't misconstrue that we are not Muhammad the Prophet, because we all came here with common sense. We flush his blood. He goes in the same ground that we go in. But what makes him different? For Allah chose him to be the seal of the prophets. And because he's the seal of the prophet, we have an understanding that he must walk on eggs or water. But no, he's a representative of you, who you are, as the Khalifa, with a Khalifa. And his job is to instill in us who we are. So we cannot be equal to the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or better. Because why? He's perfect. Now, he's not perfect as a normal human being, because we all sin. I just told you that. But what makes him perfect? And why did he not sin? Again, of this concept. He's only perfect because for 23 years he recited the Holy Quran given to him by Allah through the angel Jibril. So if he's quoting God's words, he's perfect. When you are quoting the words of Allah, he's perfect. So that don't mean you're the prophet, but you're the uswa of the prophet. You are the nature of the prophet. You can be just like the prophet. Before he left, the words from Angel Jibril said, "Who are you, Prophet Muhammad? Tell them that you are a mortal human being just like them." So you wouldn't misconstrue and be like Jesus that walks on the water, that was crucified by the enemy. When Allah says in the Holy Quran that they crucify him not. This is all the imagination of Satan to make you think that's how he left here. But keep in mind that, yes, when he's not speaking God's words, he's just like you and I. He has trouble with his wives. But more important than that, Allah gives us a reason why these various different things happen in your life that allows you to erase your sins. Anytime we all come together in a group or more, when we come together, Allah rewards us. We don't understand that Allah says, if you only but know, you would drop everything and rush to Jummah. Why? Because Jummah is not a on Friday, like our Jews on Sabbath day. It's Sunday, God's day, on a Saturday. And then you got Sunday, which is God's day for the Christians. But every day is God's day. We don't have a special day. But on Friday, Jummah, if you come together, you erase what you're doing on Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. If you anybody knew, you rush to Jummah because he will erase those sins away from you for that week. But now here come the month of Ramadan. And this is an individual debt that you owe God. We say lima deen. That's religion, yes. But deen means debt. You owe God a debt. He gave you the air to breathe. He gave you a mind to be able to operate in your taqwa. Yes. He gave you ability to come to him. All these things matter as an individual. But because we all fasten as one, my God, there it go. Mercy, forgiveness, and blessings. Allah loves when you come together. So we all come together as individuals and we do the same thing. 1,500,000,000 Muslims around the world fast. Can I reiterate? You think you're fasting for what? For the next door neighbor, your mother, your father, for what? Your children? No, you're fasting to erase the sins from you that you made for 11 years. Pardon me, 11 months. And this is your individual debt that you're paying back to Allah. So you can't fast for water. You can't fast for food. And certain things you can't do. But if you try with good intentions to do Ramadan, one is a read. Read the Holy Quran on Ramadan, of the book in Ramadan. That gives us enough time. All of us are doing it in some form or some fashion. But they want you to learn hadith. Then I just tell you, this is your ability to know what God is saying directly to you, not to a third party, to you. So why would you read another book? You read the Holy Quran. You don't let anything intercept your mind and take you away from a book that man is saying or man is talking about. Anything small is in the Quran. Anything large is in the Holy Quran. So why would you need another book? Why don't you pay attention to what God says? Is it inferior to you? Is that inferior to you? That you will ignore what God is trying to tell you? So if you read that book, you cover it all for 30 days. And with good intentions, if you try, and Allah will reward you as if you read the whole Holy Quran. Now, you're not going to be able to define in your mind what Allah is saying. He has no beginning and no ending. But your gift is your good intentions. Allah will erase all of that from you that you sin. And you're going for the next 11 months, you build muscles. You're ready for the fight. So you cut off all the things you should have done, you would have done if you could. You stop drinking. If you go 30 days without smoking, then you can get rid of cigarettes. If you go 30 days without abusing women, you just clean up. If you go 30 days for not taking care of your responsibilities in life, Allah takes that all away from you. But then he tests you the next one. Because now you're ready for the fight. Fight what? This world. What world is this? The world that Satan created and man. Peep into my heaven that man and jinn is in this world committing bloodshed. An angel said, oh my God, oh Allah, how could anybody go straight and the world's crooked in that. So yes, it's two worlds. And you can live in paradise while you live. You don't die, you evolve. But I'm talking about right here on earth. Right here on earth that you can live a life that Allah has created you to live. If you beg him for the sins that you commit and not on your record in the final day of judgment. So we say that when the dog comes to the light, and surely you want to pray, it will come to the light before you leave this world. But you're not coming back here. You'll be tried. Nobody came back here to tell us what place are we going. Well, I do know is on earth. We're earthly people. We ain't gonna be in the sky and the Mars or moon, and we're not nowhere that out of this atmosphere. We live right here on earth. And see, that's a myth also. But as you read the Holy Quran, you're reading what God is talking directly to you, no third party. You don't need a third party. Yes, you read with your wife, you read with your mother, you read with your brothers, and so forth and so on. Allah enjoys that because we're doing it collectively. Some people has a self-gratification, and we do things just for ourselves. We do things just to want money. We do things. They want to have power over someone. That's not fasting. That's not fasting, brothers and sisters. Yes, we give charity. We give zakat. We give sadaqah. We do that during the holy month of Ramadan. But some people don't do it. And some people are not, that is unconscious that they will not do it. So I listen all the time, and I look at certain things, and we have someone, a foreigner, telling us how to read hadith during the holy month of Ramadan. They give us all these different shabam and this and that and this and that. That's not in the Holy Quran. What was not in the Quran, what is not in the Quran is not for us. Because everything Allah says in the Holy Quran, so he is sufficient. And when you go outside it, when you go outside during the holy month of Ramadan, then that means you don't believe that God is sufficient. Whoa, I know. You got to see what Prophet Muhammad has, how he lived his life. They don't put emphasis on that. Man put emphasis on that. Well, the hadith is millions of hadiths. And the scholars said, we would have never created the hadith if we thought it would cause this much trouble. For 99% of the hadith is not authentic. And then that 1%, half of that 1% is not authentic. So the authentic hadith, do you believe that Satan would let that one get to us? No. We didn't even know there's two angels on our shoulder. How did that get to us? Because man comes to man. For Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, glorified his name, said distinctly, clearly, this is what he said. This is what he says. If my earth was plentiful with angels, I would have sent you an angel. But man comes to man. And Allah says in the Holy Quran, I will raise one up from amongst you. So if you came from Saudi Arabia, you wasn't raised amongst me. How about Pakistan? You wasn't raised amongst me. What about Turkey? You was not raised amongst me. What about Africa? Ah, yes. we come from Africa. There was one raised from us from Africa. But they kidnapped us and took some of us over here to America. So you was raised in Africa. I can't hear you in Africa. I can't touch you in Africa. I can't feel you in Africa. But Allah raised one from amongst us. Is that one individual? Oh, no. Jesus said it properly. He said, I'm going to leave you my mother. This is Jesus. And I shall return. Now, brothers and sisters, you thought he left you Virgin Mary, and you made her Virgin Mary when she had other children. But what? Why did you make her Virgin Mary? Because he left his mother. No, he meant every female that can bear a child. That is the mother he's talking about. And that means in that mother, she has a blessing that another Jesus will be born. And you took it literally that Jesus is going to come back. No one's coming back to this hell. Why would he put Jesus back in this hell? Why are you putting Moses back in this hell? Do you think Muhammad the Prophet is going to come back to this hell? This is a world that didn't create. You got to go to the final day judgment like everybody, all of us. And we understand that the seven heavens is the prophets. So you're not a prophet, so you don't think you're going to make it to seven heavens. But didn't I tell you, his wife said it to you. He distinctly said, they asked her, Aisha, who is your husband? My husband is a walking human Quran. Got it. Got it, Khadijah. May Allah be pleased with you. I have it. You know why I have it? Because he walked like me, talked like me. He speaks a language. He's human like me. He got a heart just like I got a heart. Kidneys just like I got kidneys. He has an earth, and we look different, but we're the same. But the prophet said we'll mirror one another. When you look in the mirror and put them together, they all look the same. Why? We are human. We are human, brothers and sisters. We are earthly people. We are not going nowhere. So how do Allah judge us? The way we look, how tall we are, what is the color of our skin, how educated we are. Or we are the prophet. There's no more coming. So what makes us different? No, we're not different. We're the Khalifa. Didn't I tell you that? The entire race of human beings are the Khalifa. So we will be judged. How do we judge us? By our heart. Now, cut off that head. The body is still alive. Cut off your feet, your hands. The body is still alive. But how do you kill the body? Kill the heart. Nothing's alive. So he judged our heart. And we all got the same heart, brothers and sisters. We all have the same heart. And because we have the same heart, we're the same people. We go in the same dirt just like everybody else going. So we make ourselves different. So one comes from amongst us, and you can name them. You name them all. Dr. King came from amongst us. We lived here in America. Noble Drew Ali came amongst us. Amongst us, but he didn't live and grow up amongst us. He came like a thief in the night. They used that phrase because he stole us away from Satan. He came like a thief in the night. But he came to find the lost and found, because we were lost. And he taught the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, who grew up amongst us. Wow. Imam Walidin Muhammad grew up amongst us. Wow. Minister Louis Farrakhan grew up amongst us. Shall I go on? One from amongst you. And Allah says to us, simple, I only raise a few. So it means everybody's not going to get that. But he raised one in your midst that would be able to take you to another height. And that one looks different. That one is unbelievable. That one is not taught by the educators. That one out into his nature in which he was created. And then you become jealous, envious, and you don't give credit where credit is due. Allah said, I will give you no more. And some of us are suffering right now today. So it's a reason why you rush the Juma, if you're anybody new. It's a reason why we do Ramadan. Now, there's a whole lot of people, 8 billion, does not do Ramadan. But Allah don't judge your rituals. He don't judge your ego. He don't judge your wealth. He doesn't judge any of that. But he does judge your heart. From deep down in your heart. And no man judge another man's heart. Well, brothers and sisters, you can't even judge yourself. How are you going to judge anybody? So all of this is a sign to us. One is healing to science. And because that one has grown to the world, you ignore him. Because that one was able to give you science, you ignore him. Mathematics, you ignore him. You will not appreciate that one has a gift. But you don't do it for your self-gratification. Because he has a person has a gift that only a few have to help many, many of all of us. But the Honorable Elijah Muhammad had us doing Ramadan only in December. Show you we were successful. But we didn't do it on the four seasons, because Ramadan comes in the four seasons. But he knew, because we was in slavery, he put us in slavery for 400 years. How are we going to learn how to do what our ancestors taught us in Africa? They burnt that out of us. We couldn't read nor write. They burnt us out of us. We didn't even know, was we human? They made us 3/5 of a human being. They burnt that out of us to not to be the Khalifa. And then 400 years later, we're speaking the language of our ancestors. That's a blessing. I'm going to allow them to be like me. And we took on doctors and engineers and the seers way before us. Yes, we weren't called prophets. We were the one that could see the future. And we can tell you what this is all about. Yeah, they took all that from us. And we don't appreciate that our ancestors suffered the bounds of suffering and begged God and made a covenant with God, a contract with God, take care of my offspring. And today we're cut in ties. Today we don't love each other. Today we do everything individually. Today we don't come together collectively. Today we say Ramadan and we don't even have a clue what it means. When you come together, Allah rewards you. When you come together for Hajj, you become purified. Why? Millions of people go to Hajj. But we change Hajj. Hajj is for every human being. And today, if you don't say, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, you can't get in the Hajj. You know what Ustaz Muhammad said? One day that's going to change. It's not going to happen in my life, but it might happen in your life. Well, I believe it's not going to happen in my life. For every human being can come to Hajj. Hajj is not for a special group of people. It's for believers. Closest people to us is the Christians. Why? Well, one, their book begins with Genesis and it ends with Revelation. Our book begins with Revelation, and the Quran ended with Hamas. So what is Allah saying? They are the closest to us because the Quran is a continuation of Revelation. Oh, you didn't. They don't teach that. They don't teach that because Allah didn't give them that blessing to understand what he's talking about. Because this here is not being taught properly. And we are the only Belalians because our father, Belal, in the sense of the word, we are Belalians. And I cannot explain to you, Belal was the only one that didn't use a horn or a bell to call the Adhan. And Prophet Muhammad was pleased when he climbed the Kaaba and said, Allah, he called the prayer all the way to his decease. He wouldn't let no one else call. And he was an African slave. Symbolic to us as the Belalians that we are calling the entire Islamic world, but it don't stop there. We call the humanity to prayer. Look who woke up. They're no longer slaves. They're no longer unintelligent. They're no longer three-fifths of a human being. Where did that come from? For Allah glorify his name, says, listen, this is what Allah says. You think that you can take my human being and make them an animal? They plot and they plan, and God is the best of planners. Look at us today. We stand upright. We in Cayenne, Sirat al-Mustaqim. We now bow in our head and Sajja. Who taught us that? We didn't know anything of that. For a man with a third grade education, he was like Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He was like Prophet Muhammad. Don't misconstrue what I'm saying. The seal of the prophet is it. But messengers come to us all the time. And he introduces us to religion that we're supposed to all follow, but there's no compulsory. You're a Christian, be a good one. You're a Jew, be a good one. This is what Allah is saying. For we don't make anything compulsory in Islam and al-Islam. This religion, is Allah is not forcing you to do anything. You have a choice, accept it or reject it. Go back to Christianity and be a good Christian. You'll make it to heaven. But if you don't follow the book, the original book, it's not taboo. You just can't comprehend what you read. But yet, Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam ran from the people, the pagans, the Jews, and all them. His own uncle was trying to kill him. So they practiced idol gods. Where did he go? He went to the Christians, who accept him for 10 years. The Christians. Why? They believed in one God. To turn him over. Why would I do that? He only believes in one God. So we believe in one God. Christians fell in love with them. Christians. And when he 10 years went back home to fight the battle, his father was standing strong. They had no communication. They couldn't send a letter, a text, an email. They couldn't pick up a phone. So Allah separated them. He kept his faith in Allah, but he went through trial and error. Allah says, first come difficulties, then come ease. Well, what about Abu Bakr, Ali, Bilal, Ismail? What about all of them? They was fighting with God's name. With God's name, they was battling. They kept the prophet alive. Couldn't talk to him. 10 years. We was with him, man, wanted to see Muhammad for years. 43 years with the Ahmadiyya Muhammad, and we separated and gave up on the Ahmadiyya Muhammad. And he taught us wudu. He didn't teach us religion. You junkie. You drug dealer, you pimp, don't know you a man or a woman, vice versa. He cleaned us up and you won't even give him credit. He said, I didn't come here to teach you religion. I came to clean you up and one after me will teach you your true religion. Now, he made that statement. I'm sitting right there listening to this, doing theology of time. And then you're going to punish him, or you think you're punishing him. May Allah be pleased with him and grant him the highest of paradise. Because we was junkies. We was unintelligent. We was wearing high heels and looking like beard and hair. I mean, we was all messed up. We didn't get married. We just ran through women. He cleaned it up. We was drinking. We was eating the wrong foods, and we was picking out. He cleaned all that up, and he won't even mention his name. So you think Allah will give you more? And then here comes his son. Oh, that messed you up. As good as Sister Clara was, that she had deserved to have one of those babies. There was 9 of them. And he gave him that book at the age of 4 and said, you read this. That's just what he did. Oh, he had a little trouble with his daddy. He loved his daddy, but he wasn't teaching the Quran. And if in fact, and I have to say this, if in fact if he tried to teach the Quran, they would have killed him. Because we didn't believe in nothing but the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And some of us thought he was the prophet. But he never told us he was a prophet. He never told you that Allah was God. He taught us how to pray. But we didn't go down Sajda because none of us would have went down there. We weren't ready. We stood upright, put our palms in front of us, and put our hand on our belly. The symbol of the reason we pose our hand on our belly across where our mother, that naval court. But we stood up. Surely I turned myself to thee, O Allah. Here say Farah, O thee, Allah. I mean, this is something that you won't go back and understand. How was we acting in our nature? We had restaurants. We had bakeries. We had barber shops, TV shops. We had our own world that we created. We didn't practice Easter, Thanksgiving. We didn't practice Halloween. We didn't practice Christmas. We had one holiday. That holiday was Ramadan. When we got finished with Ramadan, we feast. We didn't know nothing else. But today, brothers and sisters, all of you who followed the Hourglass Muhammad and got cleaned up, and embrace the man of the Muhammad that brought you to the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Our brothers in the East, especially Saudi Arabia, they are blessed with oil. That's why they're rich. But we was rich with the spirit of the Quran. Well, Moran, we wasn't taught the Quran. Didn't I just tell you that you are walking human Quran? We act in our nature and we didn't even know it. We didn't even know it. So now you don't even want to talk about it. You might want to see my husband. And we got all these foreigners. They say to us, you know, the last Muhammad used to say, do not accept the foreigners. Don't let them in. You thought it was your door. Don't let them in your heart. Why? They was devils? No. Other lights attract. And a light repel. So we want to look like them. We want to dress like them. We want to talk. You change your whole tongue. You was talking that slang when we was in the streets. Then you came a little educated, and then all of a sudden now you got accent. I got a mean, all of a sudden you just changed. And he told you that was going to happen. You wear the dress and the kufis and everything, and that is not your culture. Because when you go to Hajj, you cannot. You go through all the rituals, and you cannot accept it until when? Until when do you get the hell effect? You have to put your culture on. My God, you look like, brother, you look just like me. Why are you dressing like me? I'm from Africa. I never saw you in Africa. Brother, you're dressing like me. I'm from Saudi Arabia, and you dress like me. Where's your culture? Where is your culture? Get back into your skin. You left your culture. We created our own culture in America. We ain't just like them. We had our own style. We was sharp, clean, fast stepping right down to the morning day time. That's why the sisters came to us. We was working. We was entrepreneurs. Today there's no restaurant under the African American. There's no cleaners under the African American. There's nothing thing that you see today. My brother, we are cursed. We're cut up in tribes. We got this one over here, this one over there, this one there, here, there, and collectively we got nothing. Wake up. Like we, my mama, he say, smell the coffee, brother. You got nothing. It's all a game. Everyone for themselves. Wait, man. Said, split up. Split up so they don't get us. They get us under one roof. We put everything under one roof. Bam, that's what they did to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. We lost our land. It was given to what? The children of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. That was our money. So a man said, don't be under one roof. And you thought he meant, go for yourself. Brothers and sisters, all of you that are listening to what I'm saying, go to those imams and ask them, where's our money? One, they ain't going to take it. Two, they used it. Three, where's the money that sat in the bank for years? Don't you get interest? Where did the interest go? All these years, they still begging. They should be given, not begging. And most of the crooks stole the money. and they walking around alive. That couldn't have happened during the Abdullah Muhammad. You steal our money, you going to pay big time. But today we can't do that because we don't hurt nobody over money. Allah is sufficient. They are hurt. They in storefronts. They trying to build, but they are building for their self-gratification. One brother said, I ain't let nobody come in here. My masjid teacher, well, where's your masjid, brother? Where's your masjid? Where you've been for all these years, and you have a church that started off like a little place, and you got the whole block, and you still got the same place that everybody else went to when they was calling a glitter club. I mean, this is, I'm not trying to hurt anybody. Somebody needs to tell you to wake up, that you're not going to go nowhere. They untricked us and conned us and DC and. And I mean, this is a shame what they did. All of a sudden, COVID-19 was killing us. But there's millions of people is saying it was designed to kill us. All of a sudden, it went away. All of a sudden, now we over in Russia. $3 trillion in Russia. For what? $3 trillion would have helped every poor people in America. Where did it go? They lose machinery. Who's getting paid? Where the money? You don't care. You don't care. I was not coming on the radio live. I'm not looking at a piece of paper. This is simple common sense. We are giving money for not for the Eve, pardon me, because if it was for the Eve, we'll have enough money for our children. But Ita, and we feed the people. Who? Just us. How many people out there starving? They don't come. We don't invite them. We don't want the Christians amongst us. They're not Muslim. Somebody need a snack here. And what is that? They can be anything they want to be. They a dog, a rat, a cat. They animals. They a horse. Who are they? Allah said he created the caliph. The caliph is a Muslim. Everything in creation submits to the will of God. That's a Muslim. The trees. The seven seas, the sky, the sun, the moon, the stars, they Muslim. The dog, the pig is more obedient to God than you. He's a pig. He stays in their habitat. He's not trying to be a dog. He's not trying to be a cat. He's not trying to be a horse. But they stay in their habitat, the ants. The bees. Who are they? They Muslim. They submit to the will of God. So you don't even know the difference from a Muslim and religion. Religion came 1,400 years ago. Where was it? That was the youngest. 6,000 years ago, Christianity. 7,000. But the world been here 3 years. That's the best way I can tell you. I can't count just that high. So where was all these books? Where was all these religions? How did the prophets was able to do what they was doing? They was Muslim. But what religion they had? They didn't need no religion. They was acting in their nature, brothers and sisters. Don't start me. If I say anything to hurt anyone, I ask you for my forgiveness. Yes, I make mistakes, but we say subhanAllah. But I say Ramadan Mubarak, and we will continue tomorrow, inshallah. Inshallah. Allah will bless me to come back on live and tried to give you something to get off and stand up in your soul, stand up in your spirit, stand up in your deen and literature, stand up in your taqwa. You can't give me that credit. Give that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Glorify is his name. Thank you for tuning in. I shall return inshallah tomorrow from 7 o'clock to 8:30. Ramadan Mubarak. To all who's out there that's trying, and those who can't, Allah will reward you. Give zakat, give charity. And Allah will bless you just if you did a physical fast. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you.